you know, a lot of people would love to live forever. Well, guess what? You can live forever, but it's not necessarily a good thing. Many of your online accounts, from automatic bill payments to social media accounts, may remain active after you pass away. Even your bank and shopping accounts, they may be vulnerable to identity theft. So how do you protect your digital afterlife? My guest, America's top asset protection attorney, Hillel Kresser, joins me tonight to share the most effective strategies to protect yourself from these and a whole lot more threats that can financially destroy you. He's written a book entitled Asset Protection Secrets, How America's Affluent Lawsuit-Proof Their Wealth, and How You Can Too. Hillel Kresser's firm, the Kresser Law Firm, represents individuals and businesses in establishing comprehensive asset protection plans. He's a graduate of Syracuse University's School of Management and earned his law degree from Nova Southeastern University. In addition, he serves on Nova's President's Advisory Council. Hillel has been featured in numerous print outlets, including Forbes, and has also appeared on radio and TV, including Fox, Bravo, NBC, ABC, and CBS. If you'd like more information and to get a free complimentary copy of the book tonight, mention the show and go to his website, assetprotectionattorneys.com. And again, when you go to the website, assetprotectionattorneys.com, go to contact us, mention the show, you get a free copy of the book. Welcome to America Now, Hillel.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining me tonight. First of all, what exactly is asset protection and why is it so important today?
Sure. Well, asset protection is the legal process of titling both your personal and business assets to put them beyond the reach of future potential threats and creditors. And it's so important because people work so hard for their money. They do so they can live a better lifestyle, pass money to their kids, donate to their favorite charities, or even retire. And one lawsuit, one car accident, one slip and fall, one divorce, one short sale or foreclosure deficiency can take everything away. You know, for every 60 minutes you spend making money, you need to spend 60 seconds thinking about how to protect it. Because, you know, we're so consumed with how to make money, we never stop to think about how to protect it. And in today's litigious society, you know, unfortunately, lawsuits are really becoming the next biggest business.
So who really needs this type of protection then? Is it only the wealthy or just anybody?
Not at all. You know, everybody needs asset protection. And the example I always like to give is, you know, take one of our professional athlete clients who signed a deal for $50 million. You know, if they're sued for $5 million, they're not going to be happy, but they still have $45 million left. You know, contrast that with the regular everyday Joe who's worked his whole life and saved up a couple hundred thousand dollars. You know, if they're sued for $1 million, they're going to be totally wiped out. They're going to be devastated. There's no coming back from that. So the less you have, the more you need the protection. But everybody needs some sort of asset protection plan. But obviously, you need to find the right plan for you.
Then is the litigation problem in America these days?
You know, it's out of control. I mean, the last time I checked, there was over 100 million lawsuits every year, and that number was growing. I believe the stats were that 1 in 3 people will be sued in the next 12 months, and the average person and company is sued 5 times over their lifetime. And in today's bad economy, you know, when you have people losing their jobs, you know, the people who are lucky enough to keep their jobs are making less and less, you know, why not go to any corner and hire a lawyer, you know, for free on a contingency fee basis and sue someone? You know, it costs you absolutely nothing but a little bit of time, and if you win, a lot of times the money is tax-free.
This is getting ridiculous. It's like people are looking for easy money then, right? Hello?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, it really is the next biggest business. And, you know, you see the ads all the time, you know, who can you sue? The lawyers get together and, you know, they go after the drug manufacturers, they go after the car dealers, they go after the financial investors for stock losses. You know, it's never ending. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, it's not the clients who are getting these big awards. You know, they only see a very small fraction of it. You know, it's the lawyers who are getting rich.
Yeah, that is a problem, and you're right. In some of the cases, I would have to say some of these lawsuits are deserved, and let's not get into it, but Big Pharma, there's one. I think many of those are well-deserved. But, hello, what about liability insurance? You know, a lot of people carry liability insurance. So then do you still need an asset protection plan? I mean, doesn't liability insurance kind of cover you for these things?
Great question. You know, I tell my clients to buy as much liability insurance as they possibly can because it's really cheap and it helps you sleep at night. But with that being said, you need to realize that the insurance company is there to make a profit. You know, and if they paid all the claims, they'd be out of business. You know, when you drive down the highway or the expressway or the thruway, you know, the only big buildings are the ones with the insurance company's name on it. And that's because they're doing very well. About 70% of lawsuits are not covered by insurance. Also, your insurance might be inadequate. Your insurance company might go bankrupt, et cetera, et cetera. So I think insurance is great, but you can't solely rely on it. You know, you really need an asset protection plan as well. You know, I call it the belt and suspenders approach. You need as many layers and firewalls as speed bumps as humanly possible.
So what are then the biggest benefits of asset protection?
Well, you know, if you protect yourself, you know, number one is you want to sell your plan. You know, you want to discourage lawsuits. You know, there's two parts to a lawsuit. Number one is, can somebody beat you? Number two is, can they collect against you? You know, if you can convince them that even if they beat you, you're uncollectible, they're not going to want to sue you in the first place. And if they don't sue you, you've just saved tens of thousands of dollars in, you know, defense legal fees. If they do sue you, you want to try and use your asset protection plan to negotiate inexpensive settlements. You know, if somebody gets a judgment against you for $2.5 million, you know, and years go on and they can't collect against you, you know, if you could settle that case for $200,000 or $300,000, well, you know, we feel like we've done our job correctly. So, you know, asset protection doesn't mean you'll never pay a penny. You know, asset protection doesn't mean that, you know, a couple crumbs won't get out, but it means that, you know, you'll pay far less than you would have without the plan.
So, you know, it sounds like you're shielding your assets against lawsuits. Now, I have a question there because I think, isn't there some question actually as to whether it's even legal to shield assets against lawsuits and creditors?
Yeah, well, you know, we don't make up the rules. We don't make up the laws. We just use them. You know, there's laws like bankruptcy. There's laws like exemption that protect certain assets based on what state you lived in. So we don't make up these rules. You know, we don't make up these laws. We just utilize them. But I think you bring up a good point, which is really the ethics. You know, I believe it's unethical not to protect yourself because you have a duty to your family to support them. And I'm not telling you to not pay your claims, but if it's a frivolous lawsuit, there's no...
Tomorrow may be too late. My guest tonight is Hillel Presser. We are talking asset protection secrets. Well, let's get into the digital afterlife. You know, why do we really need to be concerned about the digital afterlife? You know, we're not going to be around anymore.
Well, you know, when we're talking about asset protection, people always are quick to talk about protecting their assets like their home, their business, the money in the bank. And same thing with estate planning. You know, in terms of passing it on, you know, those assets always come to mind. But people never think of their digital assets. What about their online photo albums, online music or movie catalogs, maybe domain names, email addresses, social media accounts, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, Google+, etc., etc.? You know, a lot of times those digital assets are much more valuable than the non-digital assets. And if you don't protect them, somebody can take them from you because they're an asset. And if you don't pass them on properly, well, you could be causing a great deal of harm for your loved ones.
Okay, so I guess I'm a little confused. Okay, obviously I have all those things out there being in this business. So are you telling me I need some type of asset protection plan? I should look at my domain names, my Twitter account, all of these things, Facebook, etc. All of these things as part of my literal assets.
Definitely. You know, you want to take a three-step approach. Number one is you have to educate yourself. And, you know, if any of your listeners go to our website, it's www.assetprotectionattorneys.com. That's www.assetprotectionattorneys.com. There's a wealth of information. And also, if they fill out the contact us form on the top of the page, as long as they mention your show, we'll send them a free copy of the latest book. Once they've educated themselves, they need to inventory what they have. You know, people usually have a lot more than what they think. So they really need to write down every single asset they have, both digital and non-digital. Only after they've educated themselves and inventoried what they have can they think about how to protect it while they're alive and pass it along when they pass away. You know, think about it. You know, what if your domain name started going pointing to the competitor? You know, what if your phone number started ringing to the competitor? You know, those are assets, phone numbers, domain names, intellectual property. And you have to think about it a couple different ways when you pass away. You know, in today's digital economy, you know, we all have our checking, savings, and credit card accounts set up, you know, to be pinged for the mortgage, the electric bill, the water bill. You know, if your loved ones don't have the usernames and passwords to get in after you pass away, those accounts are going to be drained. Also, you know, let's say you have a business. You know, when you pass away and you leave it to your son, well, if he wants to run the business or if he wants to sell the business, you know, if he doesn't have access to all the social media accounts and things of that nature, you know, the online digital assets, well, he's going to lose a lot of value. And when he either runs it or goes to sell it, he's going to make a lot less because he's not going to have all that goodwill.
So are you saying then we should include these types of things, especially logins and passwords, in our will?
100%, but I wouldn't necessarily put them in the will because the will might end up being a public record. What I would do is in the will, I would designate who you want to receive the digital assets, you know, which one of your loved ones, which one of your beneficiaries. I'd then point them in a direction of who they should see, and I would leave some sort of list with some sort of trusted advisor, you know, maybe a friend, a relative, a lawyer, a financial advisor, a CPA. And that way, you know, you can put in your will who's going to get the assets and who they should seek out for more information, but that way it's not all public record.
So what if someone doesn't really have anyone that could deal with these types of online issues? You know, if you don't have any heirs or anything like that, then what happens?
Well, you know, you got to leave them to someone. You know, otherwise the state where you live is going to decide who should get the assets. So better you than the state. And, you know, there's some companies online, and it's a new topic. So more and more companies will start popping up. But there's actually companies online right now that you can hire and retain and pay to distribute your digital assets once you pass away. If you don't want to hire the online companies and you don't have a friend or a relative or a family member that you trust, you can retain the services of, you know, any trusted advisor, you know, like an attorney. Again, you just want to make sure that it's in the hands of someone that you trust.
So then it's also very important then, Hillel, right? Because once you pass away, they need to not only, you know, inherit these things, but then you need these other accounts shut down. Because if you've got an automatic payment, say, that keeps happening to, say, one of the, you know, Comcast or Dish TV or one of those, that's going to just keep going, isn't it?
100%. And, you know, no one's going to stop charging you. And if you don't leave the usernames and passwords, not only is your account going to be drained, but it's going to be nearly impossible for anybody to get them. I mean, we all know how hard it is if you forget a username or a password or the answer to a secret question. Well, just imagine, you know, some heir going to a company and claiming that they're entitled to it because you passed away. It's going to be extremely difficult, if not impossible, and if they are lucky enough to get it, it's surely going to be expensive and time-consuming. And on top of that, I think they're going to run into a lot of areas where, you know, some companies, based on their privacy rules and their regulations, they might just not even allow the fact to give out login information, and they might not even allow the transfer of accounts. So if you don't have that information, you may never get the accounts.
Are there going to be problems sometimes, too, even if the loved ones or the person that you've designated and left all this to, even if they have those logins and passwords, are there other legality issues that they need to be concerned about?
Definitely. You know, all these sites have their own privacy rules, their laws, their regulations. And a lot of them, if you read the fine print, you know, state that all the accounts are non-transferable. You know, my father always said, the big print giveth, the small print taketh away. So even if you have these accounts, you might be violating terms of service, and you could be cut off at any point.
So what can you do?
You know, you really just want to make sure that you're proactive. You want to make sure that your loved ones have all the usernames, the passwords, the inventory list of everything you have. And you really want to try and take care of as many of these things as you can before you pass away. You know, it's so important that, you know, you protect what you have while you're alive, because nobody gets up in the morning and expects to be sued. You know, nobody's immune. You know, husband, wife, son, daughter, nobody's immune from a lawsuit. So it's so important to protect all of your assets while you're alive, and then put together an estate plan for when you pass away. You know, if one thing in life is guaranteed, it's death, and too many Americans die without putting a proper will or trust or estate plan together.
Yeah, and when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about that, and then get into as well protecting those assets depending on the particular situation you're in. All right, we will continue this discussion talking asset protection secrets tonight here on Now with my guest, Attorney Hillel Presser. And right before the break, Hillel, I was going to get into protecting assets in different situations. But another quick question, we'll get to that in a second here. But another question popped in my mind. When I'm thinking about how these companies can continue to just take from your account, you know, how is it even legal that they can continue to drain your bank account after you're gone? Because isn't it when you die, if your heirs send the death certificate to all these different companies, doesn't that stop them legally from doing that?
You know, potentially. You know, when you sign up for these automatic withdrawals or automatic charges, you know, you're always clicking those, you know, accept the terms of service, which, you know, no one probably ever reads in their entire life, and, you know, they purposely make it with small font and very long so you don't read it. Well, you know, usually it's not the duty of the company to find out, you know, when you pass away. So it's going to be on the burden of the heirs and the loved ones and the beneficiaries to make sure that they stop that. Well, a lot of times, they're never even going to know that the account's getting pinged, and if they do, it's going to take months and months and months. After that, you know, of course, the companies are going to make them jump through hoops because they don't want to stop charging. So, yes, you know, eventually, if you take the right steps, you could probably get it to stop, but it's going to be a time-consuming and costly matter.
What about going to the bank first, close down those accounts? I mean, close out the checking, close out the savings. Then they really have nothing to draw from, at least.
You know, definitely. And if you can do that, you know, that's great. But a lot of times you don't have the power to do that. You know, depending on if there's an estate plan set up, there may or may not be a trustee. There may or may not be an executor. You know, the bank may or may not allow you to do certain things. So it all sounds good in reality, but in practicality, it never is that easy.
Yeah, having been an executor, I know it was not easy, because even having the death certificates, holding the power of attorney, it still was like pulling teeth sometimes to get some of the stuff done.
And it's really unfortunate. I mean, I've, you know, helped people when, you know, their loved ones pass away. And, you know, sometimes, you know, what these companies are looking for are really impossible to get. And, you know, they're just going based off rules and regulations and black and white paper. And, you know, fortunately, that's just not the way the world works. And, you know, no one, you know, expects, you know, to pass away, you know, the day, unless someone's very sick, in which case hopefully they've taken care of their affairs. But usually it comes as a surprise, and it's just very tough to deal with.
Yeah, it is. And usually people are kind of in the shock of things. They're not thinking about that. They're not thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to run and get the logins and passwords and shut all these things down. You know, Hillel, what about protecting your assets, though, depending on the situation? Does the nature of the threat, say a divorce or lawsuit, dictate how to design an asset plan?
Definitely. You know, there's no one-size-fits-all plan. And, you know, when we're doing planning for a client, we don't do any cookie-cutter planning. Everything is individualized and customized and tailored for the client. You know, everybody's personal assets are different. Everybody's potential threats and creditors are different. And everybody's business assets are different. So it might work for you, might not work for me, and vice versa. And depending what type of planning you're doing, whether it's premarital planning, whether it's planning to make sure that your company is safe in case you get sued for a car accident, or making sure your personal assets are safe in case someone tries to pierce the corporate veil. There's all different steps you're going to take and all different techniques and tactics. So you want to make sure that when you're putting together an asset protection plan, that it's totally individualized and customized and tailored for you. And it's going to be a process. It's not going to be a quick fix, but you're going to do things the right way and only have to do them once.
So what are some of the more common predatory threats out there that we should be thinking about?
Well, some of the most common ones are lawsuits, car accidents, slip and falls, divorce. We see a lot of short sale or foreclosure deficiencies, especially in the last, 3 to 5 years or so. We also see a lot of times, when people sell their business, if the business ends up going downhill, the buyer a lot of times will come back to sue for fraud. I call it renegotiation. But really, it's endless. Unfortunately, our legal society makes it so easy and inexpensive, if not free, for anybody to sue, but they make it so difficult and expensive to defend yourself even if you win the case. So unfortunately, a lot of times, even if you win the case, you lose because you've spent tens of thousands of dollars on legal fees.
So is it too late to protect yourself then if you're already sued?
It's not too late to protect yourself even if you've been sued, but you always want to be proactive. You don't buy health insurance after you're sick. You don't buy car insurance after you've been in an accident. So you want to be as proactive as possible. And if you're proactive, you can legally and ethically protect everything you have from everyone every time. If you're not proactive and you wait till you're sued, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can't do anything, but your options are certainly going to be reduced. Things are certainly going to be more expensive. So again, you want to make sure that you're proactive. That way you have the best plan.
Okay, if you're being proactive, though, all right, what happens if you are sued? What are some of the most common types of mistakes that people make when they're confronted with a lawsuit, Hillel?
Well, a lot of times, number one is, they get in a panic mode, and they'll spend so much money on so many different attorneys that they might not have had to do. So the first thing you want to do when you're sued is really just take a step back, take a deep breath and clear your mind. Because, when you get sued, you tend to get in panic mode, and panic mode only results in bad decisions and expensive decisions. So number one is, really take a step back and look at it, and to say to yourself, what really is a lawsuit? A lawsuit is nothing. It's just a couple pieces of paper that someone filed against you, and you could do the same thing to anybody else. So you need to really say to yourself, it's not as big of a deal as what you think it is. Because when somebody comes to your house to serve you, emotions are running high. So you really need to step back, take a breath, and put together a plan. If you're running all over the place, you're only going to hurt yourself. Also, you want to see what you can do, to try and, mitigate it right at the beginning. You want to, keep your attorney's fees down, instead of going on an hourly basis, maybe you can hire someone on a flat fee. Something you also want to think about is, the best defense is a strong offense. Whoever's suing you probably has a free lawyer because the lawyer probably took the case on a contingency fee. Well, if you can come up with some claims against the person who sued you, now that person is not only a plaintiff, they're a defendant, which means their lawyer is probably going to charge them. So the best defense is a strong offense.
So then what about mediation and arbitration? Do you approve of those routes?
Yeah, I think mediation and arbitration are good. Especially in a divorce situation. Take a regular divorce, and let's say a couple has $1 million. Usually what happens is they battle it out for years. They each spend $200,000 in legal fees. So now they're down from $1 million to $600,000. And then they end up splitting the $600,000. I always tell my clients, go to mediation on day one. Because if you don't, it's really only the lawyers who get rich, and it's at your expense.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. When we're talking about this, I suppose it's always good, especially these days, to get that prenup in place. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about that, and even about cohabitation, because I think a lot of people are opting to go that route so they don't have to go the divorce route. America Now continues with Hillel Presser and Asset Protection Secrets after the break. Carol Presser, and we are talking about protecting your assets in various situations. And again, if you would like a free copy of the book, Asset Protection Secrets, and it's a really great book, go to their website at assetprotectionattorneys.com. Go on the page that's Contact Us and tell them you heard about it on America Now or Barb Adams, either of those. We'll get you a free book. Hillel, before the break, I wanted to know, we were talking about these different situations. We talked about divorce and lawsuits and all of that. What about cohabitation? You know, a lot of states are community property states. Does a couple need to protect their assets like as if they're in a marriage?
You know, I think so, and, you know, you definitely want to take precautions, and the more you can do, the more protective you're going to be. You know, whether it's a prenup, whether it's a cohabitation agreement, whether it's a postnup, whether it's an asset protection plan. Maybe it's all four of them. You need to put as many layers up, as many firewalls up, as many speed bumps up as possible, because the more you can have in writing, the better position you're going to be in when something happens down the road. You know, especially if it's, you know, second, third, fourth, fifth marriages, because you might not want the assets to go to the spouse. You might want them to go to the children from the first marriage, and it is so important that you make everything clear in writing, whether it's through the prenup, the postnup, the estate plan, the asset protection plan. But it is incredibly important that you get things down on paper, because you never know when you're going to pass away. And you know, the last time I checked, I think about 70% of Americans died without an estate plan. So you just want to make sure that you're all buttoned up from the beginning.
Yeah, boy, it's kind of overwhelming at this point. It makes me want to stay single at this point, not get involved with any of this. Because it's like, wow, that's a little overwhelming, a little much to handle. How about bankruptcy, Hillel? Because today many, many people are facing bankruptcy. When should they consider bankruptcy?
Great, great question. You know, bankruptcy should always, always, always be a last resort, because you can always do bankruptcy at a later date if things don't work out. You know, I'd say out of every 100 people that come to my office and mention the word bankruptcy, only maybe one or two or three or four of them actually need bankruptcy. The majority of the people just need a really good asset protection plan. And a lot of people who jump into bankruptcy could have avoided it if they had a good asset protection plan. So, you know, you really need to, again, take a step, take a deep breath, and realize that there's no reason to jump into bankruptcy. It is the absolute last resort. You're dealing with the federal court. You know, you want to do anything and everything humanly possible to stay out of the bankruptcy court. And you know what? Worst case scenario, if things hit the fan and it is the last resort, well then, okay. At that point, you could consider bankruptcy. But do not consider bankruptcy unless you definitely have to.
So, Hillel, are all a person's debts dischargeable in bankruptcy?
Not all of them, and also there's a lot of different type of bankruptcies, and you know, don't really have time to get into all the different ones, but it's going to depend what type of bankruptcy you go through, and no, not all debts are dischargeable. So, you know, most of the personal debts are dischargeable, but a lot of times, you know, the tax debts are not dischargeable, and again, it just depends on the federal judge and what type of bankruptcy you're going through, and what is and what isn't discharged. So there's no black and white.
So can you protect them, like, say, non-exempt things, even in a bankruptcy?
Well, I tell my clients, you know, don't think that you're going to protect your assets excuse me, and then go through bankruptcy. You know, that's not correct. We don't help clients protect assets from a bankruptcy court. Again, you know, there's a total difference between being in civil court and state court against, you know, some creditor, and then being in federal bankruptcy court with a judge. And you can even be looked upon as bankruptcy fraud, and that's the last thing you want to deal with. So, you know, again, I would encourage people not to protect their assets, you know, from a bankruptcy court, but try and protect all their assets in general, and then if they have to go bankrupt, really use that as a last resort.
So we're getting down, in the last couple of minutes here, Hillel. I understand you're also offering a complimentary preliminary consultation as well as a complimentary Asset Protection Monthly newsletter. How can listeners go about getting these?
Yeah, you know, the most important thing is whether you do anything or you don't do anything, know what your options are. And again, if they go to our website, it's www.assetprotectionattorneys.com. That's www.assetprotectionattorneys.com. They will find a wealth of information, literally hundreds if not thousands of pages of free educational information. If they fill out the contact us form, long as they mention your show, we'll send them free copies of the latest book, Asset Protection Secrets. We can sign them up for the free newsletter. And if anybody wants to call into our office, I'm happy to have a free complimentary preliminary consultation with them and, you know, see if we're the right fit and see if we can help them with their goals. And again, to do any of that, they can just go to the website at www.assetprotectionattorneys.com and just contact us.
Okay, and what's different or special about your firm as opposed to them contacting someone else?
Well, first of all, asset protection is a very special niche. You know, in every city there might be 1,000 criminal attorneys or 1,000 personal injury attorneys or 1,000 real estate attorneys. You know, I like to think that we only really compete with about 10 asset protection attorneys in the country. It's a very special niche. Also, when we look at people's asset protection, we don't do it on an island and just look at their asset protection. You know, we look at their asset protection with their estate planning, and the two go hand in hand. You know, you need to protect what you have while you're alive, and then when you pass away, you want it to go to your loved ones quickly, privately, and cheaply. So I think one of the services that we offer above and beyond being a niche is really making sure that the asset protection and estate planning goes hand in hand. You know, on top of that, we don't do any cookie cutter work. You know, everything we do is individualized, customized, tailored, and we really hold people's hands. We make sure that we don't just set people up with a plan and send them on their way. You know, we make sure that we're there to answer all their questions. And normally with any of our cases, we actually give them a year of unlimited calls, emails, or meetings, you know, just to make sure that everything gets implemented smoothly.
So may I ask, how much will this cost a person just for the basic asset protection plan?
You know, there's no black and white answer. It's kind of like saying, how much is a car? We can work within any budget. You know, we've done cases for $1,000. We've done cases for $30,000. At the end of the day, we can work within any budget, and it's only going to depend on how buttoned up and how well a client wants to sleep at night. So it's totally up to the client, you know, how much they value the services, and we can do as little or as much as they want.
And again, it's all tailored to the individual needs of each particular client.
Correct. And that's the most important thing, because when it comes to the asset protection, you know, there's no one size fits all. We're all different. We all have different assets, and we all have different potential problems. And we need to make sure that we're doing what's in our best interest, not somebody down the road.
Yeah. So I think, again, if you're listening out there, it's important. I guess we all need to pay particular attention to not only the assets we have right now, but particularly those we may not even realize we have, especially those in our digital life and for the digital afterlife. And again, if you would like the book, Asset Protection Secrets, please go to Hillel's website at assetprotectionattorneys.com. Go on the Contact Us page. Tell him you heard him on my show here with Barb Adams, America Now. You can get a free copy of this book. As well, you can get a complimentary preliminary consultation, even a complimentary Asset Protection Monthly newsletter if you sign up there. Again, assetprotectionattorneys.com. Hillel, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I think I may take you up on a little bit of this, because I think I'm sitting here listening to all this and suddenly realizing I may have some assets I never even realized I had.
It's my pleasure, and I hope it was educational, and I'm happy to help you.
Yeah.